9 minutes to 5 o'clock is the time. Next week, people will have a rare and exciting opportunity to see a comet with the naked eye in a once-in-a-lifetime experience. That's according to astronomers, including my next guest, one of our regular contributors to the program, David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. David, good evening to you.
Good evening.
Now, this is Comet Nishimura. It was discovered only in August. Why should we be excited about this development?
Yes, I was taking a look at it this morning in a telescope, but it's forecast to brighten by another factor of 10 in the coming days. We have a big viewing event on Saturday night. I will be staying late to see this comet coming up, but you'll have to wait till 4 o'clock in the morning to see it from Ireland. I'm afraid it is a morning object. But if people know the sky, I can tell you roughly where to find it.
Where?
Well, if you get up early in the twilight, you may have seen the planet Venus blazing over in the east. And if you look to the left of Venus, about the width of your hand at arm's length, with your finger spread out, so from the tip of your little finger to the tip of your thumb, about that much to the left of Venus is where for the next few days you should aim your binoculars, and hopefully you might even see it with the naked eye as it brightens up. If you can't see Venus, another trick is use the plough and look to the lower right of the plough, near the horizon. Scan around there with your binoculars. It looks like a little blue fuzzy ball. Photographs from dark skies around the world are showing amazing structure in the tail already. And it won't be closest to the sun until the 17th of September.
How fast is this comet traveling through space? And also, in view of the fact that it was only discovered last month, why name it Comet Nishimura?
Yes. Well, if you discover a comet, it gets named after you automatically. And Nishimura is a Japanese amateur who was taking pictures of the sky and noticed this little smudge, when it was quite a bit dimmer than it is now. Reported it, and no other telescope, there are all major telescopes around the world these days, spotted it. So he was the only one that found it, and it's been named after him. Now they've looked back, running the orbit backwards, and found pictures of it taken all the way back in January when it was super faint, though. So he was the first one to realize it, and it was named after him for all time.
And then in terms of the comet itself, you know, how many years will it take the comet to orbit the solar system relative, let's say, to the Earth?
Yeah, well, we've able to pin down the orbit of this comet quite well now, especially with those January observations. The computers can now predict the orbit very accurately, and it turns out it goes around the sun about once every 500 years. So it goes way out into the depths of the solar system, out beyond Neptune, the outermost planet, where it spends most of its time, and then swoops down and almost hits the sun. It's going to get about 22% of our distance from the sun, so more than four times closer than we are. Now, it's hot out in the sun, as you've probably noticed, and if you're four times closer, the sun is 16 times brighter. So this comet is going to get fried. Some people are worried it won't survive the closest passage to the sun. But if it does, then it could be an even more glorious object when it comes out the other side. The only problem is the best time to see it from Ireland is on the way in. So we just have to wait and see. Comets have often been said are like cats. They do what they want rather than what we expect them to.
Halley's Comet caused much interest during its last nearby visit to Earth in 1986. It takes 76 years to orbit the solar system. The comet Nishimura, 500 years. So I think it's fair to say that when this is described as a once-in-a-lifetime event or opportunity, that's no exaggeration.
For this comet, yes. I mean, we know of hundreds of comets. I went all the way to Australia in 1986 to get the best view of Halley's Comet. It won't be back till 2061, and it's not a particularly favorable apparition. But there are other comets you can see. Older listeners might remember Comet Hale-Bopp in 1997. That was a huge comet that never came particularly close to the Earth or particularly close to the Sun, and it relied on its brightness from its sheer size. And it was as bright as the brightest star in the sky. I remember being in Dublin, parked at traffic lights, looked up, and there was the comet sitting beside the traffic light. It was that bright. Unfortunately, comets like that, maybe once in a lifetime, maybe even once in a millennium. But there's another comet. During lockdown, we had Comet Neowise, which was plainly visible to the naked eye, again nearly as bright as the brightest stars in the sky. That was 2020, just 3 years ago. So comets can come rather unexpectedly, few weeks, maybe a few weeks' notice, put on a spectacular show, and then they're gone for the rest of our lifetime. And there are a couple of comets that might reach naked eye visibility coming later this year and early next year, and those ones we can predict, and we'll be having special features in Astronomy Ireland magazine about those.
You mentioned that you were in Australia for Halley's Comet in 1986. I'm just looking at a still from then. I think the best vantage point was the outback, but it's a marvellous photograph, I have to say. Very, very dominant indeed.
Yeah, I remember we were at Ayers Rock, right in the middle of Australia. The nearest town, Alice Springs, is 500 miles or kilometres away, a long way away. And the skies there, I remember thinking, were only about as dark as Donegal. Now, Ireland's grown up a bit since then, a few more streetlights around, unfortunately. But we do have some really dark places in Ireland. The part of Ireland, certainly for Halley's Comet, it wasn't at its best from the northern hemisphere. You had to go down south to see it. And also, the weather in the outback is clear every night. In Ireland, it's mostly cloudy. And I've been battling the clouds the last few mornings to try and get a few quick snaps of this particular comet. And even when it is clear, we've got fog. It's such a humid country that we live in. But, you know, we just need one or two really good nights to really experience this comet. And as I said, the other ones we'll predict in advance. This one, we're going to have to report in the magazine after the event. So we'll be showing pictures and the story future issue, and we're all dying to see what's going to happen to this comet. Will the other side using, or some people think it's a bit small and the sun's heat could vaporize it totally?
Yes, actually, one of the texts we've received just in the last few minutes is, what is its size, do you know?
Yeah, it's hard to tell with comets because they're hundreds of the order of 100 million kilometers away, and most comets are only a few kilometers across. So something just a few kilometres, 100 million kilometres away, is incredibly tiny, and you can't really see it any detail, even with the Hubble Space Telescope, which won't be able to see this comet because it's too close to the Sun. And forget the James Webb Space Telescope, that always looks away from the Sun. So we used techniques. For instance, we've flown spacecraft back in 1986 into the head of Halley's Comet. There were Irish experiments on board at the time. We've had other cometary flybys, even the comet landing with Comet 69P, Churyumenko-Gerasimenko. And that comet we landed on, we've measured its size accurately. So we can tell from the brightness of comet how big we think they are. It's a bit of a guesstimate. This one, you know, you're going to find factors of two or three in size difference. It's probably just a few kilometers across. Hale-Bopp, the giant I talked, we're fairly sure it's solid, dirty snowball at the center, powering the whole thing, was about 40 kilometers across. So, you know, you're getting the county of Ireland there, certainly a very big city.
And another text that has come in, perhaps this person is concerned about their well-being, is there any likelihood that the comet could strike Earth?
No. Well, we can predict very accurately, and this comet doesn't come anywhere near us. If it did, it'd be even brighter. It's going to get its brightness mainly from the fact that it's going so incredibly close to the Sun. I mean, if the Sun has 20 times on its surface, and giant dirty snowballs, they're not just made of snow, which is water ice, but they have frozen acid as well, which melts at even lower temperatures. So the surface of this comet is probably frothing like crazy, kicking out lots of dust, lots of gas, lots of steam, that is water vapor. And the comet may only be a few kilometres across, but its head can swell up to be as big as nearly a million kilometres across, certainly hundreds of thousands bigger than Jupiter, but it's very tenuous. It's like clouds in the sky here on the Earth. Airplanes can fly through them at hundreds of miles an hour with no damage to them because they're just water droplets. And with the comet, it's very, very diffuse material, so it looks very big, but it's not really that threatening. Also,
David, that line is beginning to fail on us, unfortunately, but just briefly, if you would, I think the annual barbecue is on, is it tomorrow or at the weekend?
It's Saturday, but people want to get their early bird tickets before tomorrow night, or it's €75 per ticket, including all the food, but we'll have giant telescopes. One of them, at least, is going to stay there till dawn to watch this comet, but the planet Jupiter and Saturn are the star attractions, as well as the wonders of the universe, a barbecue, talks, trade stands. It's Ireland's biggest annual telescope festival. People come from all over the country, even some from abroad. So check out the website, astronomy.ie, and get the whole family to come.
Very good. We shall leave it there. David, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. And the closest to the sun will be Nishimura on the 17th of September. It'll be 1 million kilometres away. That brings the time now to 2 minutes past 5 o'clock. My thanks to David Moore. We'll take a break.